Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Colin Saunders. His book is called Triangular UFOs of the United Kingdom. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Colin, let's jump back into the story here of this sighting. How did the object finally disappear?
Like I said, when we were parked next to the object, the craft decloaked in front of us. But then, as my wife pulled forward, it blocked her view, so we didn't actually see the craft disappear. Because by the time she reversed back into the gateway, it chose that particular moment to disappear when we couldn't see it actually leave.
Was there any kind of abduction case or anything that happened to you, all of you?
There was something strange happened to me, which we'll get back into in a short while. Just before the break, we was talking about the lights that my wife had drawn. She drew 3 red lights in a perfect equilateral triangle. Now, there's no way we could have seen that from the side of the road and from approaching the lights and the small triangle. I have a theory that what she saw was the underneath of the large triangle. Do you remember I said once we got out of the car,
there was
a huge craft going away with 4 big red lights on the back, and I thought it was the smaller craft had grown into a bigger craft. But now, on reflection, after all these years, I believe that was the mothership that the smaller one went back to. And looking at the trajectory of the large craft, there's a good chance it passed over our car whilst we were looking at the small one. So it's almost like an ambush. The little one was there. It was tilted up to show us all of the lights. It was right next to the road. We stopped the car in front of it. Now, I think there's a possibility at that point the large triangle came over the car, which is why my wife drew 3 red lights in a perfect triangle.
So the smaller one was about the size of a bus, right?
That's right, yes. And I'm guessing the larger one was the size of a football pitch.
Ah, that's good size.
Yeah, it was the biggest flying craft I've ever seen, and I've been to quite a few air shows over the years, both in Germany and the UK. It was a massive craft just silently floating away. It was quite incredible. So what I decided to do then was to make a model of the craft. Initially, I drew it on the cold draw, did some lovely drawings, and I printed those out, made some paper versions, and then I decided to make a more solid model. So I got some wooden doweling and created a shape, a triangular shape, and I put the images that I printed on top of this model. It was a bit flimsy. You could poke your finger through it, but it was a proper 3D model. It was quite exciting.
You were almost obsessed with building this model, weren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, it was came at the perfect time because I got 3 members of staff working at home. So I let them run the business whilst I was in the shed outside making this craft. making several crafts, first drawing it, then the first paper craft, and then the first wooden craft, the wooden-based craft. Now, that craft, the last time I seen it was inside my van that I bought. I bought a small van for moving garments around.
Yeah.
That was part of the driveway of my house, and it was broken into one night, and the stereo was taken out. It was an old cassette player. It wasn't worth anything. And when I took the vehicle to be repaired, from the friend who sold me the vehicle, he said it had been professionally broken into. He said they made a great job of it, and he couldn't understand why somebody with those skills would break into a van and just steal a cassette player. Now, when I came to look for my model, it was gone. It wasn't in the van. Whoever took the cassette player also took the model. And I never did find that model again. So whether they were looking for that in particular, or whether they just saw it and took it, it would mean nothing to anybody. So whether I'm just being paranoid, but somebody did say once that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. So that model disappeared. But then I decided to build another one. This time I went to town a bit more. I put some plywood on top of a doweling frame. And I also bought some flashing lights and a battery pack and a switch and wired it all up. And now I've got a model that has got the actual lights in it as well.
And you were doing all this, Colin, from memory?
Yes, all from memory, yeah. And all done in straight away before the memory faded of what we'd seen that night. Now, I got in touch with a UFO magazine over here, and they put me in touch with a gentleman called Omar Fowler. Now, Omar sent me some documents, and in the documents there was a picture of a triangle in Belgium in the 1980s, I think it was. And the underneath of the triangle, the young guy who's seen it, I got these lines in relief interlocking on the surface, exactly the same as we got on the surface of our craft. Now, we only saw the rear end and the top, but it seemed to me that the Belgium sighting with the same beams underneath must have been the same craft or same series of craft. So I used the Belgium sighting to create the bottom of our craft. So when you look at my finished model that I've got, and the final model is a 3D printed model, we never saw the underneath. So the underneath is just purely based on the Belgium sighting. So there may not have been beams underneath our craft. It may have been a flat surface, I don't know. But it did seem logical to me to use the Belgium sighting to make the complete craft, basically. So I built this second model. I managed to get onto television with that and into a few magazines and talk to people. And I remember in the early days when I used to take it out on a briefcase, it used to make me shake with excitement when I seen it, taking me back to that night. So then, I went and did a few presentations of that, a few UFO conferences.
Were you becoming pretty well known by that time?
Only within UFO circles, yes.
Okay.
I think with the advent of Facebook and social media, that's when things started to take off a bit more.
You met the late Bud Hopkins, who was an expert in alien abductions, didn't you?
I did, yes. I met quite a few people, actually. It was back in the early 2000s. Now, we used to have a UFO magazine. It was run by a guy called Graham Birdsall and Russell Callahan. The two of them used to produce a fantastic magazine, but more importantly, some fantastic UFO conferences in Leeds. Now, it was there that I met and chatted with Stanton Freeman, Dr. Roger Lear, Stephen Greer, and more importantly, Bud Hopkins.
Yeah, great people.
Now, before I go into the conversation I had with Bud Hopkins, we need to go back to the night of the sighting and talk about the high strangeness, the strange things that occurred to myself, but not to the other people. Now, what I've talked about so far is what I call the nuts and bolts of the sighting. The strange part of the sighting I didn't really talk about for 20 years because it just sounded crazy. And I'm an engineer, and I found it all very weird what took place. And I can imagine that other people would think that I was losing the plot, that I was making it up because it's just so strange what I'm about to say. But I've realised now, especially over the last 4 years, that paranormal activity and UFOs go in hand in hand. And I'll explain the reason why. So if we go back to that night, the 31st of March 1999, at 9:50 p.m., as the craft tilted up in front of us, like I say, like a submarine underwater, the three thoughts came into my mind. And then best way I can describe it, it was like somebody got a pair of binoculars and put them in front of my eyes. Because all of a sudden, I could see the surface close up and I could see these lines interlocking that were turning through 90 degrees, these girders on top of the liquid surface. That was the first view. Then there was a second view. That was the big round nose at the top. And I was so close to it that I couldn't see the beings on the surface anymore. All I could see was this big round nose. And it was beautiful. The way it had been manufactured was absolutely incredible. It was in all of the engineering. And then there was a third view, and that was a side view of the craft up near the nose. Now, it showed the centre of the triangle from a side view, which was like a white core, milky white core. And the top and the bottom of the triangle fitted onto this central white core. And when they fitted the top and the bottom, it was rounded over like a hovercraft skin onto this white central core that was running around the craft. Now, where it was joined, top and bottom, there was no welding, there were no seams, no nuts and bolts, no rivets. The way it had been manufactured was absolutely incredible. The next thing I remember is being in the car saying, "Stop, stop, I want to get out, I want to get out. I wanted to get next to the craft." I think me and my mother-in-law wanted to get on board. And that's when my wife pulled forward and the craft disappeared.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, when you say it disappeared, Colin, blinked out or sped off?
We don't know because the hedge was in the way, so we didn't see. We didn't see whether it decloaked or cloaked itself again, or whether it shot off, or whether it went back to another ship.
But it was gone. It was gone quickly, though, wasn't it?
Very quick. In that very short space of time that it took us to pull forward, and then we burst into the gateway, that short space of time, it just totally disappeared. And like I say, it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop.
In your opinion, at this point, do you think they wanted you to see it, the craft?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot of people want to see these craft, and we get people seeing them at distance, you know, miles away, and see lights in the sky. Very rare do people get to see such a close encounter like we've had. I realise over the years it's one of the closest in the UK it's ever been recorded, certainly probably the most detailed, but I seem to be in the right position to do that. So not only did they wait for us, like a bit like an ambush, and show us the craft close up, they also, I believe, put these images into my mind. Now, I was going to say, the next day, I had the conversation with my family, and I was saying I'd had an out-of-body experience. I was pretty convinced that's what had took place, because I've got this close viewing of the surface, these three images. But I couldn't understand why, if that was the case, why, say, from the front of the nose, I was looking at the big round nose, to the side view of the nose, why I didn't see it long, why it was like three pictures, rather than a continuous rolling film as such. So for a few years, I was thinking about the body experience. And going back to the conferences where I met Bud Hopkins, the conversation I had with Bud, I told Bud about what had occurred. I showed him the model, and I told him about this out-of-body experience. Now, Bud said to me, no, it wasn't an out-of-body experience. What you had there was three images placed in your mind by the aliens on board the craft. Before he got a chance to explore that anymore, this other person put it in, this woman, an Irish woman with a crystal she'd found in the forest, and she's saying, Bob, I found this near the UFO sighting. And Bob, being a gentleman, started chatting with her, and that was the end of my 60 seconds with Bob, basically. So I went off thinking, well, that's an unusual thing, isn't it? Aliens putting images in your mind. I couldn't really take that on board, and I was still clinging to the out-of-body experience, which I found quite comforting, because I was starting to think you could live without your body, that your soul does carry on. And I was quite clinging to that. I thought that was quite nice. But then what happened was, once a friend of mine, he started building some models for me. I got a 3D printer. So I did a presentation on one of these 3D models, and I talked to the group. This was in Birmingham in the UK. And I talked about the close viewing and saying I thought it was an out-of-body experience. Now, the guy there talked about a case where a UFO had landed in the field, and two guys were watching it from quite some distance, and they saw these aliens coming out of the craft. And all of a sudden, one of the aliens projected his face across the field. It was right up in front of this other human guy's face, telling him he shouldn't be there and they have to leave.
Jeez.
Now, I thought that's a similar sort of thing, but not exactly the same as what I experienced.
You didn't see the aliens or whatever they may be, right?
No, I didn't see any aliens at all, unfortunately. Just the craft and the close-up views of the craft. Now, what happened then, after this presentation I did, as coincidences go, within 2 weeks, I had an email, and I put the details in the book. It's the only one I've got in there from America. It was from a guy in Connecticut who's never reported his sighting to MUFON or anybody. He doesn't want anybody to know about it, and I've had to use a pseudonym for his name in the book. Now, what he said to me, basically, his email started off by saying, just like you, I had three images placed in my mind with a close encounter with a triangle. So he goes on to explain that he'd seen this triangle, that it came down really close to him, and as he was staring at it, thinking he needs to remember all the details for later on, a bit like myself when we saw our craft, he said he had three images placed into his mind, and they were close-up views of the craft. He thinks two of them were on the outside, showing like a ball of light or plasma. Another one was the pipes running around the surface. He thinks the third view was inside the craft. So when I read that email, it suddenly struck me. Like, it was like a eureka moment. It was like, oh my word, Bud Hopkins was correct all along. It was images placed in my mind. It wasn't an out-of-body experience. I've been listening to a lot of work of David Jacobs. He'd interviewed a lot of people who'd been on board craft.
And he believes that the visitations are somewhat nefarious.
Yes, he does, yeah. I might go along with that myself, I don't know. But what I did gather from listening to all of his podcasts and YouTube information was people receive images, telepathy. I always assumed that telepathy was words, like you'd have a conversation with somebody, but without actually speaking, just through your mind. But you have a lot of reports where people are showing images rather than words. And then it struck me that, you know, an image paints a thousand words. Picture paints a thousand words, is what they say. So it would make sense that the aliens on board the craft put three images into my mind.
Might they have put an implant in you?
Who knows? Who knows what took place that night? Because I have had a lot of experiences since then and nothing before. So this was the start of the paranormal part of my life.
You've had other encounters?
Not as close as the first one, but I've had some very strange things happen to the point where I started to write them down with the dates as well. And I put all of these into the book. So it seems that Wood Hopkins was correct. The images were placed in my mind. And the only reason I could think that was done was to build the model. I mean, the final model I've got, the 3D printed model, is an exact copy, as far as I'm concerned, of this ET craft that we seen that night.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.